Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
No, many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. I hope you've had a wonderful two weekends.
Yes, we've been off for a week, and it actually feels kind of weird.
It does.
Yeah. You're just thinking, cool, we get a week off, but no, it's kind of weird.
I didn't necessarily enjoy the week off.
No, that was not how you want to spend a weekend off.
No. We may talk about that here.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit.
First, let's get to our new Twitter followers.
Twitter followers.
So, we have Amy.
That would be me.
Not necessarily you.
Not me.
We got Minchie, who has some cool little atoms, it looks like, on their name. Kind of cool. Jeremiah Bannister.
Come on, babe.
Jeremiah Bannister of Paleo Radio.
I want to say was a bullfrog. But that's just me.
Chef.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Elder, also of Paleo Radio. Their podcast, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Just so you do.
Right.
Jeff T. Smith. Mike. Trademark. He's actually got a TM by his name. It's trademarked, apparently.
Uh-huh.
Caitlin Bafer. Sorry about your name. I'm not sure if I hit it or not.
Knowing you, probably not.
And Dave Dickinson.
Cool.
So, yeah. New followers. Always like more. And you can follow us as well at Secular Yakking.
Did you almost have to think about that?
Yeah, I did. That's sad.
Yeah, we know.
And we have an iTunes review.
Yay!
Great show of 5 stars by I Lost My Shoe Again.
Interesting name.
Yeah, whatever. Only a half hour, but informed, fun, funny, great listen.
Sweet.
Well, thank you, I Lost My Shoe Again. I hope you find it soon.
I don't know. It could be fun with one shoe.
Depends on maybe. I don't know.
Alrighty. So I think we should discuss part of why we were off last week.
Yeah. I had spent a little time in the ER last week.
Yeah. So
I touched on this last week during the intro to the encore.
Yeah.
But it's going to be an ongoing thing for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you wanted to record, but he was literally sitting in a hospital bed and stressing out about it. And I told him, I said, you're just going to have to get over it.
Yeah. So that's how dedicated I am to getting shows out.
Yes.
I'm trying to figure out how to record from a hospital bed on my phone.
I know. And you're supposed to reduce your stress, but that just made you more stressful. But so I think, you know, the shows will be fine themselves. It's just hopefully nothing that you have to do will interfere with when the show needs to be done. Right.
So maybe it will be released on Monday instead of Sunday some weeks. It just depends on how things are going.
Right. But for the most part, it will always be on time other than if something I would assume unexpected comes up.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least for the next couple months, I think.
Yeah. Otherwise, I really don't foresee it really interfering because, you know, we record on Sunday. So,
yeah.
I mean, it just works out that way for us.
Yeah, it works out well.
Yeah.
Anyways. Hopefully.
Anyways.
I do have another announcement.
Do you now?
I am having an E Pluribus Unum rally.
Cool.
We've mentioned it a couple times before.
Yes. Yes, you have.
And it's a rally to bring back our motto. It's going to be on June 29th in Olympia, Washington.
Yep.
On the East Lawn at 11 a.m.
Yes, and you're looking forward to that.
Oh, I am.
Yeah, I will not be there, though, but you have plenty of people that'll be with you.
We're doing it to impose the intrusion of religion into politics and to promote the original motto as our founders intended, E Pluribus Unum.
Hear, hear.
We will have awesome speakers like Travis Simmons, Sam Mulvey, Damian Athope, and we just announced Lilith Starr of the Satanic Temple Seattle will be speaking as well.
Cool.
We may even have a surprise speaker if the stars align.
Yes.
So bring your signs and voices. And for more info, you can go to bringbackourmotto.com.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you can get anybody that's not too far, you know, a little local to come, that would be cool too.
Yeah, that's cool. On the website, we have a set up where you can either volunteer because I could use a little help with the whole thing.
Oh, uh-huh.
And there's a spot you can sign up to become a speaker if you have 2 or 3 minutes of something you want to say about separation of church, state, or the motto or something like that. Something cool.
So it gives them a chance to get up on the mic, basically.
Yeah, because I want everybody to be, or anybody to be able to participate. Because this isn't just, you know, speaker thing. It's about all of us.
Right. So if you got like a little 1 or 2 minute thing to say, get up and use the mic and say yeah. what you got to say kind of thing.
Yeah. Just there's a form to submit and we'll put everybody's name in the hat. And then while we're there, we'll just pull names out of the hat when we have free time for.
Now, you also going to have that on the show notes as well?
Yeah.
I think you should.
Yeah. I'll put that on the show notes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the links will be on the show notes.
Well, whatever. Yeah.
And
whatever gets you there.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Fine. Also, since we had issues last week, I didn't get to mention our guest spot on our secular outreach partner, Waiting for Wrath.
Ah, that's correct.
Episode 73, released on April 1st. We drank beer and talked about the show and the original motto project.
Yep. And there will be no more beer for you.
No more beer for me.
Sorry. That was your last one. So technically it was ceremonial.
That was your last beer ever.
Again.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Anyway, and luckily it was a good one. So if you want to hear my beer review of something I rarely drink.
Yes, that's true.
Go listen to it.
Yeah, he actually found one he really, really liked.
Yeah,
so,
no, I can't have it anymore.
Which is unusual. And yes, now you cannot have it anymore.
Oh, well, that's fine.
All right, on with the show, please.
So, first story.
Yes.
Organic farm denies use of dihydrogen monoxide.
I love this story.
Wellspring. So I'm going to start with the description.
Okay.
From their website.
Okay.
Wellspring is a nonprofit education and retreat center, as well as a organic
certified, honey.
Organic. Wow.
That's part of your issue that you got. It's a certified organic farm.
And CSA, Community Supported Agriculture, whose mission is to inspire and teach people to grow, prepare, and eat healthy food. In so doing, we transform food systems and build community. But earlier this week, we were called out on using dihydrogen monoxide.
They were called out.
Yeah. So Thomas Shear, who is runs... Oh, I forgot the name of the thing. I meant to write it down. It's a scientist. I'll get the link and put it in the show notes.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, he went on their Facebook page and gave this review. I heard they use dihydrogen monoxide in their food. How can they be organic but have chemicals in them?
And this is his profession? Tell me that's not his profession. I mean, he works.
What? Thomas Shear?
Yeah.
No, he's a blogger.
Oh, okay. So, okay. Yeah. So, okay. So, but still, hello.
Okay. So he did that on purpose. Right. So let's go through it. So Wellspring responded. Hi, Thomas. Angela here, Wellspring exec. I have checked with our founder who has been on property since we started the first CSA, and we have never had that chemical on our property.
Oh, okay. I'm getting it now.
Okay. And Thomas says, oh, sorry. May I ask, what does Wellspring hydrate their produce with?
So he already knew what he was saying before he asked the question.
Yeah, this is a pretty thing. And Wellspring goes, it's called water, artisan well water to be exact. And they go on about how people love the taste of their water. They end with this comment. While the chemical is allowed in organic certification, many farmers refuse to use certain things, and we are one of them. Then someone pointed out that DHMO is the main ingredient in Roundup, and they got really defensive.
Okay.
Stating, we are also anti-Roundup, so no, once again, you all must be thinking of some other farm because we clearly are not that farm. Roundup is clearly not benefiting any of us or our planet.
So, do they still not know?
No, they don't know.
How do they not know? I mean... So, it's water. Yeah. That's what it is.
Well, this is about the point that they realize it's water.
No, I know that, but...
So, and one of my favorite comments of all time on this entire thread was Kim, who said, what kind of sorcery are you using to grow your crops without dihydrogen monoxide?
The fact that they don't know that dihydrogen monoxide is just water, and I find it very entertaining that they said, no, we don't ever use something like that.
They were adamant about not using dihydrogen monoxide. That's nowhere near.
It doesn't ever touch our lands, basically. Yeah.
So, and then they finally figured it out. And
but in their defense, sort of-ish, I've actually heard this from several other people who don't realize just because it has a chemically sounding kind of a name that they think it's all bad and dangerous when it's just something as simple as like water.
Right. So yeah, so they finally figured it out. And April Fool's was last week, they said. Long day and previously stated ours is extra special because it's artisan well water. Don't even get me started on that. But the last post was the most telling for me.
Okay.
I didn't do my homework and my only excuse is that I was passionate about ensuring clarification of what we do.
Okay.
So here's my issue with this.
Okay.
And here's what is the problem with this anti-science, anti-GMO.
Right. I get
they go to, so like, I know exactly what they did. They went to Google. They typed in dihydrogen monoxide. Uh-huh. They clicked on the first link. First link is a parody site.
you have to know what you're clicking on. You just don't pick the first thing you see.
Right. But it looks scientific. It looks exactly like the kind of sites they would visit.
Right.
That would say, oh, this chemical's horrible. This stuff is just horrible. Right. Here's some the description that the site gives for DHMO.
Okay.
Which is a colorless, odorless chemical compound, also referred to by some as dihydrogen oxide, hydrogen hydroxide, hydrogen hydronium hydroxide, or simply hydric acid. Its basis is highly reactive hydroxyl radical, a species known to mutate DNA, denature proteins, disrupt cell membranes, and chemically alter critical neurotransmitters. The atomic components of DHMO are found in a number of caustic explosives, poisonous compounds, such as sulfuric acid, nitroglycerin, and ethyl alcohol.
So that's what they read on that first
page. That is the first paragraph on that page. They read this and said, oh my goodness, it's in all this horrible stuff.
It's really sad. Right?
So this is my problem with this kind of thinking.
Right.
It's just crazy.
No, I still have the issue with, I mean, it's all free speech and everything, but that you're allowed to post. I just actually corrected myself in my own head when I was saying this, that you're allowed to post things that are so incorrect. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, that's like the majority of stuff posted online.
Yes.
So I was already correcting myself in my head while I was saying the words.
Yeah, but the thing is,
like false advertisement.
That site, the DHMO site,
uh-huh,
is absolutely honest about what they're saying. Everything they say in there is true,
uh-huh,
right? But they don't say water does this. They say DHMO, right. And it's.
I was gonna say it depends on what compounds you mix them with.
Exactly, water itself is fine.
Yeah,
you know, unless you ingest tons of it or you try and inhale it.
Right. Well, and we haven't. Yeah, we don't breathe that stuff. But yeah, I mean, anything within itself is an entirely different thing. Once you mix it with some other component, you've created a whole nother thing.
Right. And that's exactly what bothers me about their lack of research. Mm. It's the same thing that happened a couple of years ago with Subway, with that plasticizer. Oh. It's the exact same thing. No one cared that it's designed for this particular purpose.
Right. Everyone said, oh no, they put plastic in their bread.
Right.
I know people personally who said, well, I'm not eating at Subway. They put plastic in their bread.
Right. Because it's the same stuff they use to fluff up yoga mats.
Right.
It's just the same chemical, right?
For yoga mats.
And they said, well, they put yoga mats in their bread. No, that's not what they put in their bread. They put a chemical that's also used in yoga mats.
Which just proves they do not even grasp the concept of, you know, the way science works.
Right.
They just see the strict black and white. They don't understand you mix your colors to get things, different things.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I mean, it's just frustrating.
All right, I think I'll move on.
Yes, please do.
Hi, I'm Dina, writer and creator of secularscarlet.wordpress.com blog. With a passion for archaeology and humanities, you can find many subjects addressed, including atheism, religion, women's issues around the world, and articles hitting our news. Come on over and check out what is on my mind this week.
Church tracks down former member, threatens action if she doesn't divorce her wife.
So the church hunts this person down and tells her to divorce her wife?
Well, let's get into it.
Okay,
fine. When the First Baptist Church of Bostic, North Carolina, learned that one of their former members, Kelly Toney, is in a loving, committed marriage with another woman, the church took it upon themselves to intervene.
Of course they did.
Did it matter that Kelly hadn't attended this church in 15 years?
What?
Of course not.
That's crazy.
Yeah. In a letter, the church asked Kelly to, quote, see the light and admit her sins and divorce her wife. This is a direct quote from the letter.
Okay.
If there is no willingness on your part to receive this appeal and display repentance and abandonment of this area of open immorality, the church will have no choice but to take appropriate and prayerful action to address the standing of your fellowship with this body at such time that will be determined by the leadership of the members of the congregation.
Who the F do they think they are?
They're going to kick her out of the church she no longer attends.
She doesn't go to church.
She stopped going to church.
That's like us, okay, who hasn't... We haven't gone to church since before our kids were born, I guess you could say. That would be like someone from in town who goes to one of the churches coming here and telling us something along those lines. I would be like, who the hell are you?
Yeah, they're going to ban her. They're going to remove her from the church's roles.
Oh, that's their form of action. I was thinking more than that.
No, that's okay. Basically it. They're going to have, they're going to, the standing of your fellowship with this body. They're going to remove her as a church member.
Why in the world are they picking on her all of the sudden? That makes no sense to me.
Apparently someone found out.
Someone probably mentioned it in church.
So Kelly writes that she's attended church with her family as a child, but she parted ways with the congregation after she came to terms with her identity, seeing the disconnect between the two forces. Quote, not once did I receive a letter saying I'd been missed or to get back involved with the church over the past 15 years.
That's a really good point.
Mm-hmm. Not one time have they said, hey, you should come back. But
we just care about what you're doing in your bedroom.
Right.
That's all we care about. Otherwise, you could disappear and it wouldn't matter.
Yeah. Pretty well, she did disappear and it didn't matter.
Okay, exactly.
But you know what? I think someone noticed it and said, hey, she used to go to church here. Now she's married to another woman. How does that make the church look?
Are they so, I don't know, needing, I don't even know what the hell I'm saying. Like, I was going to say bored, but I mean, no, I don't understand that.
I think it's an image thing.
Yeah, that's true too. But they always have this that they have to get into everyone's life and make everyone live the way they want them to live.
Yeah, I know.
I don't understand why people can't look at other people and treat the people the way that they wanted to be treated, not the way you want to treat them.
Yeah, I know.
It's frustrating. I say frustrating way too much, but well, it is frustrating.
Always frustrating.
It's, people can be so cruel and uncaring, and yet they think they're doing so good.
I know. It's ridiculous.
It really is. All right, I'm ready to move to the next story.
All right.
If you're like me, you may have been a fan of shows like Ghost Hunters, Paranormal State, or Ghost Adventurers. But at some point you said to yourself that these shows are complete crap. They're superstition masquerading as science. But don't worry, I'm here to shed light on these shows and point out their flaws using skepticism, the scientific method, reason, logic, and a little bit of humor. This is Paranormal Skeptic Academy, and it can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, or at ParanormalSkepticAcademy.com.
In-law uses ice cream to convert nieces.
Okay. On this one, to me, that sounds like pretty much what they've always been doing, just not necessarily always with ice cream.
Okay.
Sorry. So,
this is from a Facebook post.
Okay.
It shows a picture of two little girls, but we'll get to what they're doing in a minute.
Okay.
And I'm going to read directly from the post.
Okay.
My sister-in-law has been trying to get me to take my two little girls to her church. As the nice atheist that I am, I politely declined. Her pastor even wanted to meet with me so that he could understand my views. Again, I blew them off. Then one day she asked to take my girls out for ice cream. Of course, I let them go with their aunt. I had no idea her pastor was meeting them there, or that they were going to pressure my girls into their religion. The pastor and my sister-in-law told my girls they needed to accept Jesus as their master, and maybe if they prayed hard enough, God would change their dad's mind and he wouldn't burn in hell.
Holy beep.
Yeah. Who would tell a 6 and 8 year old that S?
That, and the sneaky way that she went about doing it.
Well, she's not doing being sneaky.
What do you mean?
She then told my girls that the meeting was supposed to be their secret.
Oh, well, there's good, you know, mentoring right there.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, person with authority comes in, tells you something. Oh, it's our little secret. That's already a warning sign.
Well, I was going to say, and that also reminds me, not in this case, of several other things that have gone in the church, is that let's keep this our secret. Yeah.
But my six-year-old won't do secrets. Told as soon as they walked in, I'd never seen my in-law move so fast to get out of my house. When my wife finally got to confront her, her defense was that she wanted the girls to know about God. Fair enough. It wasn't her place, but if it means that much to her, I'm attaching some pics of me teaching her God to my girls. To anyone that don't like how I raise my kids, don't look. And if you want to indoctrinate children into your cult, it might be a good idea to stick to your own.
That's
so
crazy.
The pictures are these little girls reading Why There Is No God.
And they're smiling really big. Yeah. Did you notice
yes,
that?
Yes, I noticed that.
But I can't believe, I mean, what does that say about them?
Right.
That they're going to lie to the parent and bring the kids for ice cream for something that wasn't just my aunt taking the kids for ice cream.
So very, very sneaky, very backhanded.
And why do they think that they would want to join, in my opinion, a cult like that?
Well, to keep them from burning in hell.
But they obviously have to sneak and lie to get around to doing that.
Exactly my point.
So again, what the hell would you want to join that for?
I don't know. And why would you want your kid? Well, I don't get the whole concept of I get the concept of why you do children, because they're easy.
Yeah, they're easy to manipulate.
I mean, they're evolutionarily set up to listen to adults. That's what they're supposed to do. Right.
Even though they know something's not right and something's wrong, but you have an adult figure telling them that this is how it needs to be. We actually have something like that going on right now. And they know this isn't right and this isn't what it's supposed to be, but they're an adult and I'm really not going to question them.
Right.
Or I shouldn't.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it frustrates me. Here we go with that frustration again.
Yeah, I mean, just the sneaky, lying aspect of it is just so dirty is the word that comes to mind.
You gotta think, how would they feel if he went and told her children about atheism?
Or that Santa's not real. Hope nobody kids were listening. I was kind of stopping myself in the middle of that. But, you know, something along those lines.
I highly doubt we hit the 10-year-old demographic.
I'm just saying, we're younger. But, yeah, I mean, they wouldn't want us, you know, like us baby-eating atheists over here in this house, bringing all those little kids running around the cul-de-sac in, and hey, guess what? We have something to tell you children.
With pizza.
With pizza and, you know, cookies.
Yeah.
So, as I can keep saying, it's frustrating. I got to look in a, whatchamacallit, and find a better word. Thesaurus.
Thesaurus, yes. Anyway, moving on.
Please do.
I am an old man. Most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
That's right. It's time for our weekly Potter Award.
Yay.
This week is interesting because I'm going to start with a little story first.
Okay.
The Antonin Scalia School of Law has been renamed due to perfect and unintentional acronym.
I see the acronym.
Last week, George Mason University Law School announced that it was renaming the Antonin Scalia School of Law in order of the late Supreme Court jurist.
That's funny.
Giving it the appropriate acronym ASSOL. Yes. While we're not fans of Scalia, we're not really fans of Scalia, but I think this went just a little far.
That's really funny.
And actually, they didn't notice until Twitter saw the announcement and went to town. So Jen Peoples said, unfortunate, in Scalia's case, it's more like an apt description. Dylan Foley said, if the acronym fits, wear it. It will make a great sweatshirt.
Asshole.
Emilio said, what do you mean, unfortunate? Accurate, I call it.
Yeah.
And Nina said, one could say getting a law degree from George Mason would be like pulling it out of your asshole.
Asshole.
So after a few days, they decided that they would rename it to the Antonin Scalia Law School.
Ah, get away from that O.
get that O out of there. With the following statement.
Okay.
The name initially announced, the Antonin Scalia School of Law, has caused some acronym controversy on social media. The Antonin Scalia Law School is a logical substitute. Right. So I tell you that story to tell you this one.
Okay, yeah.
What gets me is why they renamed it in the first place.
Uh-huh.
Because this law school's been there for a long, long time.
Uh-huh.
Why name it after Antonin Scalia?
Well, yeah.
It's because they got a $30 million donation.
Ah, that's
some
why.
Was anonymous, and about a third was from the Koch brothers.
Jeez.
The super-rich duo who were behind movements that get business-friendly elected to high positions in government. They were also major backers in the fight for Citizens United and had close ties to Scalia and Clarence Thomas, who were both very much in favor of Citizens United.
Uh-huh.
So Citizens United is basically money is speech.
Right.
And gave corporations the right to back unlimited campaign funds. Right.
Crap.
They are also in favor of incredibly low taxes on the wealthy, and in 2010 spent $45 million to essentially buy the Republican Congress.
This is why things need to change.
Yeah. They are well-known backers of ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, a group known for writing some of the worst legislation passed in the last few years, including restricting worker rights, voter rights, privacy rights, and bills that would benefit only large businesses.
That's why money walks and talks.
Yeah. So if with ALEC, what they do is they write cookie cutter legislation, and then they pass it out to state legislations and to all of them. They find themselves a representative or a senator that is willing to put it out.
Right.
And they just do it all over the country in hopes of getting a couple of them passed.
Right. Yeah. It's a
horrible, horrible concept.
Yes, it is.
It works.
Yes, unfortunately, it does.
So, and in 2012, they backed presidential candidates like Michelle Bachmann, Texas Governor Rick Perry, and big supporters of Herman Cain. You remember Herman Cain?
Yeah, yeah, yep.
The Koch brothers and their networks have played a significant role in supporting the far-right Tea Party movement. According to the New Yorker, the Koch's Americans for Prosperity has worked closely with Tea Party since the movement's inception, providing everything from Tea Party talking points to lists of officials for activists to contact to funding conferences.
Yeah.
They backed this crazy ass Tea Party.
Yeah, it's just they want to keep their rich group going.
Well, the problem is the Tea Party is not a rich group.
No, but
the Tea Party is, in my opinion, a bunch of people who don't know any better.
Well, and not only that, but as far as like the Koch brothers and stuff, they only like keeping, like you said, all the upper 1% in the 1% and
yeah.
Totally stomp on
using,
everyone else.
They're using the poor right. In the Tea Party.
To walk on.
Yeah. Because if you remember in 2010 is when the Tea Party took power in Congress.
I remember.
I mean, you got people like Ted Cruz that came in. He's the epitome of what is wrong with the Tea Party.
Uh-huh.
He's a Republican, but he's really a Tea Party Republican.
Yeah.
But that's not the worst thing these guys do.
Okay.
Sadly enough.
So I was just to back you, to stop you right there. So the official Potter Award winner is?
The Koch brothers.
The Koch brothers, yeah. Right? Well, you
yeah, but I needed that story to lead in. I know, but
you didn't officially say, hello.
All right.
Potter is?
The Potter is Charles and David Koch.
Oh, we even got first names.
Yes.
All righty.
All right. They also actively promote and fund anti-climate change.
Well, duh.
With $79 million, they have quietly funneled to climate denial front groups that are working to delay policies and regulations aimed at stopping global warming.
And how old are the Koch brothers?
They are in their 70s.
So
they're pretty old.
Are their 60s and 70s. Offspring in the same mindset by any chance?
I don't know.
Because are they going to die soon and or is their offspring going to follow along?
They've probably financed some sort of way to stay alive forever.
I picture The Simpsons and that one.
Anyway, Charles and David Koch have a vested interest in delaying climate change. They have made billions from their ownership and control of Koch Industries, an oil corporation that is the second largest privately held company in America, which also happens to have an especially poor environmental record.
You think?
Yeah, they had some serious fines back in the 90s.
They're just what gets in my pocket. I don't care who we have to stomp on to get there.
Yeah, I agree. Which and is why.
Why they're a Potter, because that's very Potterish.
Yeah, it's very, very Potter.
Yeah, you know, I don't care. Everyone lay down while I walk over you so I can get to where I need to go.
Exactly.
Or, you know, slaves row faster. I want a water ski.
That's basically what they are.
Yeah.
Which is why I picked them.
I think it works.
And that's all the yakking I got for you this week.
Yes, and we will be back again, probably, more than likely, on time next week.
Yes. We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Podbean patron page.
I'd buy that for $1.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
This show is a member of the Secular Outreach Network, an affiliation of Secular Media Producers. Learn more at secularoutreach.com.